Hubbub, a chaotic din caused by a crowd of people.
Hello and welcome to Season 5, Episode 4 of The Director's Hub. I'm Faye Miller from Gingerbread World, and co-hosting with me is Bruce Bignall from Evolve Pipe Drive.
Hello.
And today we are interviewing Shivankit Kumar from Levitation. Hi Shiv, how are you doing?
I am good. Thank you for having me here. How are you?
That's good. We're good, thank you. So we're going to talk a bit about your business and what you do and a bit about your background and also where it's going, because it sounds like there's a lot of change going on for you at the moment.
Yes. I can start with the fact that I've just moved to the UK about a year ago.
Yeah.
1 year and a few months. I moved here in August of 23. I have been running my own startup called Levitation. It's a technology startup which basically builds custom softwares for medium-sized companies. We've been doing this for almost 3 years. The main tech team and one of my co-founders, he is based in India. We have the team back there. So what we do is we build custom softwares. Now we're specializing in fintech. But these custom softwares are for the customers as per their needs. They can be a combination of a sales software and accounting software, or a customized as per what the client needs. So we've built one for a fintech company which is into outward remittance. We've also built us one complete CRM for a manpower consulting company who send about 100,000 people per month abroad for labor work and construction work. So that's what we do. And my background is that I have done an MBA in finance and banking. Been working for almost 12 years, I guess. And currently in a position of completely changing what I've done in the past and maybe moving into something that I've never done. But very excited to see if I can think and figure it out, like a proper pivot of what I want to do.
So do you know what you want to pivot into? Have you got an idea in mind?
Yeah, totally. I have an idea. So I'm going to pivot into making food.
Okay.
Now that's a complete pivot.
Brings a smile to Shiv's face when
he says it that. Does. So I think my love for food has started since I was as young as I know, and I've loved food from whenever I could. But then COVID was the time when I actually started cooking, and that inside that streak to cook worked out. And then since I've moved to the UK, that's become like, because you move to a new country, you got to do everything on your own. And then because it's just me and my wife here, so we do everything on our own. And then I started cooking and I started enjoying it. And I love the process of cooking. So yes, the pivot is that I'm going to take a leap of faith, jump into this. Maybe take tips from you because you are doing this. And then see how it goes.
So what kind of food, how is it going to work? Are you sort of looking at a delivery model, or has it even got that far yet? Or will it be sort of Indian food?
So yeah, obviously it has to be Indian food. But then it's going to be Indian curries that I am good at. So Indian curries, I am not good at breads yet. I haven't gone that far. But Indian curries with rice. And yes, either a delivery model or a pop-up in a pub. Or maybe just events. I don't know. Either of these three. Just going to start seeing how to get everything into place. Did one thing with the Director's Hub in Hove. Where I cooked for about 11 directors.
Yeah, I've heard about this legendary curry that we have not, I have not had the Hove yet because I'm not in the Hove Hub.
Yes, I do. I wish I could get it for everyone. But
yeah,
then
we're going to steal you and get you to come to Brighton 1 month.
Yes, I think I'll figure out something. Maybe next month I'll come to Brighton and cook for the people in Brighton. But yeah, that was the first one. And that was the second time I did it. The first time I did it for about 25 people. Yeah. That wasn't much, I would say I wasn't that good or that confident, but now I am. So the last time it went pretty well, I hope. Yeah. At least everybody said it was good, so I am assuming it was.
So are these curries that you've grown up with in your childhood that you had that perhaps your parents made for you, or is it stuff that you're inventing and coming up with new recipes and that kind of
thing? No. So there's no invention here. It is traditional curries that I've grown up with my mom and whatever I've basically had over years. The only twist is that I have a little bit way of using the things myself.
Yeah.
So the only innovation is that I follow a lot of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
But it's all it's also to do the fact that I love the taste and I the things that mom's cooked, my wife's cooked, and I've eaten at my every different place, and it's like coming together, but it's just the way I cook it.
Yeah.
That's the only uniqueness that I bring to the table.
Because proper Indian curries are very different to the curries that we get over here a lot of the time. My brother-in-law's from India. He's from Gujarat originally, and he always moaned about some of the disgusting curries that he had over here, saying they're not like what I get back at home.
That is true. Now that's where I've tried a lot of Indian restaurants. I've always been disappointed, unfortunately. It's just that the level that I get outside is I feel I can just cook better in just doing nothing by just using the same ingredients.
Yeah.
I think the curries that you get here are more towards the taste that you it suits the British people and the English people. But what I'm trying to bring is something that is more Indian, but then again suits everyone. Because last time when I did cook in the director's hub, I did make sure that one thing was that the spice level was to a point where everybody could manage.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm doing. And then the ingredients that we use, especially the spices, I have a lot from India. So maybe that's the difference that's making right now. Because the spice that you get here, that's also tastes much more different than what I get back in India. So,
why is that, do you think? Is it because it's less fresh? Because it's been sort of...
Most probably because it's everything is getting imported, right? And then the temperature difference is a lot. Like India, especially in Delhi. Delhi is going to be cold right now, but then it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be in between, it's going to be very rainy. But then England is perpetually a little on the colder side.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah.
And maybe that is why getting some spices which are Indian helps me more than doing it here. But it's just that if I use the same ingredients, it just changes the taste.
Yeah. Oh, I look forward to trying those.
I think I should. No, maybe I'll just come over to your place and I'll do it for you. We'll call Bruce as well.
Definitely up for that. So why the pivot? Because it's quite different. I'm assuming Levitation and Tech is still going to continue, but what's prompted this change? Is it something you've been thinking about for a while then?
Yes. If I can be honest, I've been thinking about this for what years? 2015 was when when this idea of doing my own food truck actually came into mind. I have been pondering about it. I have like a business plan ready from since then. I've done so much of research on it. And then it just kind of feels right.
Yeah.
I would just say it just feels right. And like I was telling Bruce that maybe just try it, you know, whether it works, it doesn't work. That's the second part. My goal is to give it a shot. And you know, we have this saying that I can't really say it in Sanskrit, but then we have this saying from Gita that you should do your work. You should do what you're supposed to do. Or just do your work. Don't worry about what the outcome will be. So, because I know the Sanskrit of it, but I will really butcher it. So I don't want to say it. But
part of that is knowing what you should be doing as well, right? So, and is that a bit of self-direction? So this is...
Can be.
Yeah.
No, but then also the fact that that saying says ki you should just focus on your work. You know, let's say if I want to... do this, for example, I want to cook. I want to focus on the cooking, not the result, whether it works or not. And what you should do is what, obviously, you know what you do, but how about you just do the work? Don't think about whether it's going to be successful or not. Like, just do it. Just focus on your work. Don't focus on the end result. That's what the saying says. And As I'm getting older in life, these simple paths that you've learned when you were a child kind of come back to you, saying that just do something. Don't worry. Maybe it will work. Maybe it won't work. But just do your part.
And from being in Brighton, was it 20...
20, 23,
okay.
So August 23 is when I came to Brighton.
And was it always going to be Brighton? Did you land anywhere else?
Ideally, the story is that my wife wanted to study further. She wanted to do her master's. She came to University of Sussex to study sustainable development. She had worked in sustainability and areas around sustainability, but she wanted better education. So she came to the best university, which is University of Sussex, for her subject. And I followed suit after an year. Took me a year. I had some personal things going on. And then Levitation was at a point where we needed to make sure that we complete or get all the projects we had in pipeline. And I wanted to make sure that I try to find somebody as my replacement, so that my partner doesn't have to face the problems, because he manages the tech part and I always manage the sales part. So I didn't want him to leave him alone and kind of hanging. So that's why I took a year, came to Brighton, and then Brighton's been pretty good for a year now. I like it now.
Did you not like it in the beginning when you got here?
Initially it was a little difficult because I am not a person who likes a lot of cold. I generally don't like cold weather. But then I think the sea, the beach, and maybe everything has just been happy. It's becoming better.
It's a bit of a mad city, really.
A little. I agree.
Some others in the UK, yeah.
I wouldn't say it's exactly mad, but it has its weirdness, and I like it.
It's colourful.
It is. It brings out something happy in you. You know, people are just not bothered about what anybody else is thinking about them. They're just them.
Yeah, that's very true. So taking it back a bit, what was childhood like in Delhi? I mean, what did you study when you were there? Because you was obviously you've gone into tech and that. So you know, was that always where you were headed initially? Do you think?
Not at all. So if I tell you what I studied biotechnology. Okay. I really wanted to go into the research of cancer cells and stem cells. That was back in 2008. I wanted to do a PhD in research. And then things, let's say, didn't work out. And I couldn't get an admission into a couple of... I wanted to study in the US. I couldn't get into the university that I really wanted. And then the pivot happened there. So my dad always said that, you know, you should do an MBA. And I was like, I don't want to do an MBA, but... Then because one thing didn't happen, my dad was like, yes, now you do an MBA. I'm like, okay, let's do an MBA. So that took me to Dubai, where I studied finance. And then the idea there was to work into core finance, as in proper banking. I tried that, did not like it at all. And then I think I pivoted into healthcare. And that's where my main experience has been. So from about 2012... almost 2013 till about 2020, it's all been different forms of healthcare. And healthcare made a lot of sense because I do come from a family of doctors. My dad was a dentist, my younger brother is a dentist, my dad's elder brother is a doctor. You pick out everybody is going to be doctors except there's just like me and my eldest cousin who are not doctors. Rest everybody, their spouses, everybody's doctors or dentists. So I was the one who decided not to do it. So healthcare was pretty natural because being grown up in doctors, hospitals, working in hospitals. So B2B healthcare was what I specialized in. Yeah. And then did a lot of work with, you know, government policies and tried to align a lot of work that I did. Also in Levitation, we did a couple of hospital and government policy, government hospital tech work. Mm. And then Levitation also happened because of COVID.
Started it in COVID, did you?
We did. My partner had started it earlier. I joined him in peak COVID. I actually joined him in 2021. Peak COVID is when we joined. And Levitation also worked because, again, we started with healthcare. Then we started pivoting, and then we focused mainly on fintech. And Levitation was also a lot of things. We started with digital marketing. We started with app development, websites. Then we did small tech work. We did paid ads. Took about a year to actually focus only on softwares. And so yeah, we've done. I think I've done a lot of pivoting in life now. Just
But the big smile came out.
I was going to say you light up when you talk about the food idea. Yeah.
And I think I might have an answer. Look what the doctor ordered. This is what the doctor's ordered from some healthy food.
It's not going to be healthy. That's for sure. Indian food can't be healthy because Indian food needs a lot of, apart from oil, it needs a lot of cooking. And when you cook something, it is going to need oil or it's going to need butter. But food, I think it's just been the, like from the starting, the first thing, everything that ever, connected me with anyone or me everywhere else, it's just been food. I've never shied away from trying any type of food. So I think that's why I'm much more confident today. That's what I was telling you, that if I do this, it's my capability of how I do it, because the dependence on others is very less. I might need to maybe, chop faster, be quicker. But maybe that's how I think I should learn from you, Faye, because you do it on your own, don't you?
Well, I do have a couple of people helping me, so I actually don't do most of the production now. I've got people that do that for me, which is another thing, because as you might
find... Behind the curtain.
Yeah, behind the curtain. I'm there going, yeah, I've made this amazing gingerbread sculpture, and actually I've done Sweet FA to do with it. No, I do design stuff, but I don't actually get involved in all the big builds, because I'm doing the admin side of it, which is what you might find with your business, is that you'd start doing the cooking, but then as it grows, you end up doing less because you have to employ people to do that for you, because you're doing the actual business growing, selling bit. But it's just the way it is. But I still dip in and do stuff, but you might have seen a gingerbread Big Ben that we did last year. It was like 5 foot tall, and I helped design it, but I literally put about 2 things on that build. I didn't actually do it myself. So.
Yeah, but then I think from the time you would have started, you would have done that, right? When you would have started, how many years ago did you start?
Oh, years. Well, gingerbread only really started in COVID, like you. It's sort of like you pivot, don't you?
Exactly.
Because my business died on its arse in COVID, because no one wants, all events cancelled, all weddings cancelled, all corporate stuff cancelled, cafes shut. So that was all my income streams gone overnight. Yeah. But gingerbread at Christmas, because we could send it through the post, suddenly people wanted kits sent, and they wanted to do virtual classes and all that. And it kind of, I'd already always done gingerbread, but it grew massively from there.
Basically. Exactly. So I think you would have also done everything on your own at the start, and then now you've, because you've reached a point, you can hire people. So
exactly.
I think that's where I am at, and I'm confident enough that I can manage it on my own.
Well, like, you'll be honing your recipes, because they'll become specific to you and your business and that kind of thing. Exactly. So, you're perfecting your craft before then you can go on to teach other people to make it for you.
Now, that's where I don't... Sometimes, because look, when I'm cooking my Indian curry, you have measurements. I don't go by measurements. I just go with...
No, I never did with cake. Well, I do to an extent, but with herbs and spices going in, I was just like, put that.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I don't think I can teach anyone. This is just because I do it myself and I do it how I like it. And then, for example...
That's quite intuitive, I guess. Yeah, you'd have to have someone
most probably,
could,
yeah. My cooking is a lot more intuitive, and for example, if I do see a video on YouTube, I would go back to it, but I would not exactly follow it exactly how it is done, because there's going to be a lot of things that I would have changed along the way. So my cooking is a lot more intuitive than just following a recipe. So I look at the recipe. The recipe is like the base for me, but then the end product is going to be it's going to be more like towards how it comes out and how it feels. Like, for example, my wife likes spicy food. I do like spicy food, but the level of spice she can eat, I can't eat. So the other day, she's like, let's make it spicy. I'm like, okay, let's make it spicy. So it wasn't that bad, because the spice wasn't really spicing in the one that we have in UK. But then it was spicy enough for any of the other people who would have tried it.
Yeah, I guess it's a process of evolution, isn't it?
Yeah.
So. I must admit, as I've got older, I like spicier food more. I think when you're younger, your palate's like not used to it. Then you like the mild stuff, and then you get my mum like bloody chomps on chilies now, and she wouldn't have done that years ago.
I think we as a community or a country eat a lot of spicy food.
Yeah,
and then we chop on chilies just like just for fun. Some people who can handle chilies. Yeah. But I think it is right as you grow older, you start eating spices. I remember my dad never used to eat spices. And then some years back, he actually started eating proper spices and it would suit him. I don't know, he started liking it or something.
So tell us about one of your favorite curry dishes to cook. What goes into it? I'm going to start drooling in a minute, but I'd love to know.
So one of the simplest thing that I always love is a very simple chicken curry.
Yeah.
The process mainly starts with the marination of a chicken, which goes with yogurt. You have turmeric, you have coriander powder, you have proper coriander, as in the, not the powder version, the green coriander. Then you also have some little bit of red chili or a coloring red chili, and then you let it marinate for a little while. And on the side, it basically is going to be cooked in onions, a paste of ginger and garlic. Earlier, I used to get these ready-made ginger garlic paste. Don't like them. So I chop them as fine as possible. And then you'll have some tomatoes. So you can marinate it overnight or however you want it. So you start off with some dry spices, as in it's going to be black cardamom. That's a big cardamom. And then there's going to be green cardamom, there's going to be cloves. Now I don't know what it's going to be called. There's going to be bay leaf, and there's going to be, you can add a small cinnamon stick or something if you would like. So then you fry these off initially. Then you add the ginger and garlic. Then once it's all a little brownish, you add the onions. Let the onions cook. Let the onions cook, because the onions are going to be the base of it. And once the onions are a little on the light brownish side, then you can add the chicken. And before you add the chicken, you got to add the dry spices. So you add a little bit of turmeric there. You cook the turmeric. The turmeric and the onions need to kind of mix in together. Then you add a little bit of coriander powder. And coriander powder is something that is very, something I add a lot. So for me, I add a lot of coriander powder and then cook that out. There is something called jeera powder. I don't know the English of that, but yeah, then you add a little bit of that. And then if you want, you can add some garam masala, depending. You can either have a homemade version of it or whatever. So you add that. That basically makes your base. And then you add the chicken. Mm. Then you cook. Let the chicken cook. Keep shut. Put the lid on the vessel, and that's it. Let it cook. That's when your chicken is going to cook. And if you don't want to use tomatoes, you can, but if you want to use tomatoes, you have to add the tomatoes before you add the chicken. And that's it. Then you just let it cook and simmer. And then once the curd starts cooking, and once you see that the oil from the curd has released, that's when you start to understand that the curd's cooked and the chicken starts to cook then. And you keep on stirring in between. This should take about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how you want to cook it. Because I take that much of time to cook. And that's it. And the end result should be a very good chicken curry. Yeah.
Stomach's
grabbing. It's like food porn, isn't it? Listening to that. Like, oh my God, I'm so hungry now. When's
lunch? Yeah.
I think whenever you guys are free, you should just come over. I'll cook it. I think that's the easiest thing. It's just coming so naturally that I just want to have people over.
So actually, here's a question. So as a pivot, this is maybe one of the first times that you've maybe mentioned it publicly, possibly.
Second time. The first time was actually mentioning it to Sunny.
So to the Brighton business community or anyone listening, like, do you have an ask? How can anyone help?
So the ask is simple. Just maybe, let's say, give me an opportunity. That's the ask. Or if you fancy it, if you fancy it, somebody is having an event, somebody is having a dinner, you want to fancy an Indian curry, call me over. We'll figure it out.
Size-wise, you said you've done 25, you've done 6 people.
So maximum I've done 25. I've done 11. And I don't know how many I can do. But I don't think, I haven't thought of the size yet. But yeah, anything up to 25 obviously is huge. But then anything within 10, 12, 15 is like something I'm not going to be worried about. But yeah, if I were just to put it out in the open, and if anybody wants to just do it, let's say you're doing an event, you're doing a party, you're doing something, and you want to try this, so maybe I can just come over and do it. That's about it.
We were talking before the recording that today is Diwali, right? And it's
yes, it is.
So it's pretty special for you to then say this out loud. And
yeah, so Diwali is like the biggest festival in India. It's called the Festival of Lights. And for us, Diwali is as big as Christmas for everyone else. So today, on the day of Diwali, just before I came here, I did my prayers. So, and then actually putting it out on a podcast is something that's actually, I would say, very big and a very big leap of faith already for me. But then it's not scaring me for once. Although I should be scared, but I'm happy about it. It's a strange feeling, but a very nice one, I would say.
So it feels like it's the right move for you to make then?
Sometimes, yes. In a lot of aspects, it does.
Yeah.
In a lot of aspects, I feel it's the right move to do. But then I don't know whether it's going to work or not, but I just feel I should give it a try.
Well, as you say, if you don't know it's going to work or not, but if you don't give it a go, you'll never know, will you?
Exactly.
So, you know, at least you can say you tried and it was a great success, or tried and it wasn't quite what you hoped for, but you know, yeah, at least you've done it. And I think it's interesting that thing around food as well, because I mean, you talk about levitation and tech and everything, and I'm not saying you're not interested in that, but when you talk about the food side of things, you are passionate about that.
Yeah.
And food, obviously, is sustenance. You know, it keeps us alive. It's important, but it's so much more than that as well. And it sounds like what you do will help to bring people together and create those memorable experiences for them as well. If they've got an event and, you know, they're, you know, having a, you know, because we've all been to events where the food, quite frankly, is, you know, not worth the plate it's laid out on and stuff. Yeah. But to go and you've got memorable food that really sticks in your mind and is really delicious can make a real difference to something, to that whole connection and enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I think for me, food is always happiness, and food brings out the best or the worst in people. I can say that. And then for me, food is always associated with the best of memories. One very fond memory is with my grandmother. We used to travel to Amritsar during our summer vacations in school. And we would travel by train and we would get food on the train. But whenever we would reach my grandmother's house, the first thing she would ask, what would you want to eat? Mm. And we would always tell her, we're not hungry, but she would still give me food. And then the next morning she would be like, what do you want to eat? Me and my brother had one synonymous answer. She used to make this vegetable with potatoes and cauliflower.
Yeah.
And there was something about that.
Yeah.
That dish that she made, and the way she made. My mom has tried it, I have tried. We've never been able to achieve that. And that's the fondest memory. It's been like, and when I met my wife's grandmother, this was almost similar. So the first time I met her when we were dating, the first thing she asked, what do you want to eat? I'm like, and she gave me a very simple Bihari food, and I just loved it.
Mm.
And I think that's how I've been. For me, food is very important.
Yeah.
And I love food and I enjoy food. I was telling Bruce this, that I think I've tried everywhere, every restaurant. That's why I get disappointed, because it's not about paying for food. I go out to eat because I like it.
Mm.
I enjoyed the food. So I tried this burger day before, which was Burger Brothers in Brighton, and I loved it.
Mm.
I had heard so much about them. I've read their reviews, and they had this massive, massive burger, and I loved every bit of it. Yeah, that's what I do with food. I if I'm going out for something, I want to enjoy it and I have fun with it.
Well, what they do really well, no chips.
Yeah, they do.
Really?
They just incredible burgers.
Yes, that's it. It's this big. I can show you the photo. It's humongous. The double patty was humongous. If you want chips, you get it on the side. But he's right. They just do the burgers.
Yeah.
And I think it was worth the wait, because I'd read about them last year itself. And when I came in last year, I couldn't, somewhere they were just off and I'd forgotten about it. Mm. Now when I went down North Road, I was like, oh, I remember this. This I need to try.
Yeah.
And I just did day before. That's something with me and food. I think that's what I like.
I think that's what we all hope for. We go out for a meal, that it's something really enjoyable, because I don't mind paying for food, but when you pay for it and it's lackluster, it's a real disappointment, isn't it? So to go out and have a really good, memorable meal or something that's really delicious, it makes a difference. Is that something you can see yourself doing down the line, having your own restaurant perhaps, or is that
if that ever works, it's not going to be a chain of restaurants, it's just going to be one single place. That's it. It's not going to have multiple outlets. Yeah. It's just going to have one. And one example in Brighton is Oshio, the Japanese place, if you guys have been there. It's always full, but it's just one single entity, one single place. You don't have any other options of it. But yeah, so if ever it goes to a point where I'm going to open something, so it's just going to be a small place where you can come, eat, and that's about it.
If you do open it, I'll definitely be on the door. I'm sure Bruce will too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big foodie. There's something here about when you said grandma.
Yeah.
There's basically time travel. A dish is time travel, right?
Yeah, it can take you back to different memories. Can take you right back.
And if someone doesn't continue that, you've lost touch to your elders. So with you saying you want to bring like authentic. Are you trying to recreate some of those dishes? What's at the moment?
I honestly don't think I'm trying to recreate anything. Like I said earlier, it's all these memories that I've had, and they're just maybe going to help me creating what I want to. Maybe it's like the memories that I want you to taste what I like, and. I like good food, so I'm going to give you that good food. So that's about it.
Your grandma and your grandmother and your wife's grandmother sound great, because my grandmother didn't serve up that kind of stuff. I was born in the late 70s, so grew up in the 80s, and my maternal grandmother used to serve these mousses. I don't know if you've had them, Bruce, but they're like frozen mousses that don't actually defrost. They still stay solid even when they come out of the freezer, and that's what I remember her for. And pots of the sweet corn, like green giant sweet corn. So I won't be serving that up in a restaurant anytime soon.
I can remember going to my dad's mum's place in Weston-super-Mare and having porridge with water. And I just crying eating it. So that's what I remember.
No, but then there are certain memories of food that, for example, I can give you one more very, very interesting incident. So, in India, you know about this place called Goa, right?
Yes.
So Goa is a city. Goa is a union territory. My bad. So Goa is a place where almost every Indian goes. And as an adult, I never had been to Goa till I got married. It's like, for example, one of the places in India where everybody's gone to. But so I had never been to Goa. I got married and my wife is like, I think we were dating then. Yeah. Yeah, we were dating that time. And I had never been to Goa. And the first thing, she's like, I have to take you to Goa for your birthday. So we reached Goa. It was about late, 2 o'clock in the night. And then once we reached the hotel, it was pretty late. So we did ask them to give the food to us. So where we were staying right next to the beach on a shack. So you can literally see the beach there and the hotel is just over here. And my fondest memory is that it's pitch dark. You can only hear the waves. I'm eating a prawn curry, which is one of the best prawn curries that I've had. Prawn curry rice. I'm just listening to the waves. I have my partner with me. There's just a small light on top or just a candle that's burning. And that's like the best memory of food that I can have. An amazing memory of food. So I think that's why I'm so happy about food, because some of my core memories from a lot of time has been associated with food.
There's a restaurant in Brighton on the beach where you eat food in the dark next to the sea.
Is it really?
No, that's what it could be.
Mm. Wow, that would be that's actually a very nice experience when you're just listening to the waves.
Yeah.
And you know the sea is there, but you can't see anything, but then you're just enjoying the food and you're listening to the waves. I think that's
what I can see. Just saw that.
Wow, that if it is there, I should go, but then
this is for you.
I think it should be.
There used to be a restaurant in Brighton where it's gone now, went a few years ago, but they used to have, it was kind of arranged like a theatre inside, so you had to go up these little tiny steps into hard to explain on a podcast, but the little tiny steps up into these like boxes almost where they serve tables and stuff. And then they had somebody come around singing opera, but like right in your face as you were trying to eat. That was a bit weird. It was kind of a good concept, but it was a bit too much like in your face at times. So, you know, it was, but you know, I agree with the whole thing that food is associated with good memories and stuff. I did a press trip years ago to Belgium, and I still remember every restaurant I ate in because the food was so amazing. And some of the things that I ate, I've still got the itinerary at home somewhere because I still want to go back and see if any of these places exist, because it was just absolutely like a culinary delight.
Yes, basically. I had the same thing when I went to Thailand. So for my wife's birthday in 2019, we went to Thailand. All we did was eat food and everything possible under the sun that we could eat. And she'd done a lot of research. She looked up a couple of bloggers who'd gone to places. All I did was just follow her because
you got the old towns, like really medieval.
Bangkok was fun. It was just food and food, and the food that we ate over the next 5 days was just insane. And I think that's my best memory of Thailand, food.
Yeah. Wow. About food for hours, quite. Yeah.
I know, man. This. So food, like you said, food connects people, right?
Yes, it does.
It's one of those things that if it's good and if you're able to replicate it or make it good for people, it connects you and you can actually talk about it. I never, in my wildest dream, thought that I could actually do a recipe of the curry on a podcast, but I just did because it's food,
and you made it sound delicious as well. You know, as you say, it connects people. It's about good. It's you know, obviously food sustains us. It's important. You could look at it purely as fuel, but where's the fun in that? It's one of the nice pleasures, really. Yeah. So it's nice to be able to discuss it now. So if you'll continue this food business, Levitation's carrying on as well. So you're doing two things simultaneously.
Most probably, Levitation is going to work because that's been there. I don't want to let go of it, but Levitation is going to go a little on the back burner.
Sure.
Because currently my partner is also kind of focusing on building his own team in India, and him able to support me over here becomes a little difficult because. Yeah. I obviously need a lot of stuff, marketing material and all of that. And because he's now managing the ship there, it becomes a little difficult for him to, you know, juggle it with me. But then Levitation is always going to be the first one that I ever did. So Levitation is, anytime I get something which is good for Levitation, I will definitely, you know, route it back and see how to make it work.
Do you think there's ever a case where Levitation will make custom software for your new food business so people could order or...
I really hope what you said comes out to be true, but I can't say that yet. But yeah, if it does, I would be very happy because then I know what I would get.
Yeah.
Because Levitation, my partner, is very good in certain aspects, especially building and tech part. He is amazing. So if it does come to that, I would be very happy.
So you were never in the tech side of it then?
I'm not a tech guy. I'm always been the sales, the business guy, or the networking person, but never the tech guy.
So you didn't learn to code or anything like
don't
that?
Don't want to. No, not
coding, cooking.
Cooking is, I think, easier. Coding, I don't think I can do.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, it does sound absolutely fascinating. It's been really lovely hearing about your new venture. Have you got a name for it yet at all?
Yep, Soul Curries.
Hey.
Sorry, what was it?
Soul curries,
brilliant. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, well, we shall look out for that, and we shall look forward to sampling some of your dishes, hopefully.
I would. It would be a pleasure to why I did the hub thing was because I wanted to just put it out and see how it works. And that's what I'm going to do now. So.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people in the hub who will be willing taste testers. Pick me.
the more the people that taste and the more confident I get, the better it will be for me.
Yeah. Well, it's all practice and it's all, it just takes time, doesn't it? And it sounds like your confidence is already really growing with it. So
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
So where can we find you online and find out a bit more about, we'll keep up to date with your food business as progressive?
So there's nothing of Soul Curry online yet, but yes, I am definitely there on LinkedIn and Instagram. Instagram is pretty much personal. LinkedIn is the professional one. So which is Shivankit Kumar on LinkedIn. So Soul Curries doesn't exist online yet, but yes, I think it should. very soon.
So we'll keep a lookout for Soul Curries on different social media platforms then.
Definitely, definitely.
Brilliant. Well, it's been lovely having you on board, Shiv, and hearing all about it all. And good luck with the new venture.
Thank you so much. It is, I think it's like Bruce said, talking about it today is just such a, I wouldn't say, it's such a good feeling. It's such a nice feeling. And the fact that I was little nervous, which is now because I'm thinking about it. But then when I was just talking, it was natural. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're done, I think.
Lovely. Four minutes spare.
Oh, wow. Cool. I'm so hungry now.
I think once the podcast is over, all of you should just come over and I can cook up something immediately. I just need to get a couple of ingredients and we're going to be good.
Yeah, my brother-in-law lives in California now because he likes the heat as well. He thought England was too cold. But when we do go over and see him, he does occasionally do his own curries.
It's just that we've all grown up seeing our moms and our wives or our grandmothers. Generally, in India, especially in the household, women are the ones who are cooking. But yeah, so I think it's always just recreating those memories because we have so much of food. Like, you go from, it's a very funny thing, like if you travel 50 kilometers or 100 kilometers in any direction in India, the taste of the food is going to change.
Yeah.
Considerably, like if you have something very spicy in Delhi, you go towards Gujarat, it becomes sweeter.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. He was born in Gujarat and grew up in Goa.
The same dish.
The same dish. The name of it would taste different.
No, so the name might not be the name won't change, but the taste will. For example, let's say you take yellow lentils, right? It's called dal. Now the dal that you get in Delhi. And then the dal that you get in Gujarat are going to be two different things. The Gujarat one is going to be sweeter, and the Delhi one is going to be spicier.
Because you see a lot of is it South Kerala cuisine in this country? It seems to be growing in popularity as well.
Which cuisine?
South Kerala region, is it?
I've seen South Indian region.
Yeah.
So Kerala is one of the states from South India. So South Indian cuisine is what is, I think, gaining popularity.
Yeah.
So then. There again, when you go towards south, they take a lot more spices.
Yeah.
Their spice tolerance is the highest amongst Indians.
Yeah.
So if they call it spicy, means it's going to be red hot spicy. It's going to be very spicy.
Blow your head off type spicy.
Wow. Yeah, so that's going to be very spicy then. But yeah, South Indian cuisine is again, you go down south, the spices that you use change. There's something called curry leaves, which in Indian terms is called kadi patta. There's a lot more use of coconut and kadi patta down south. Then there's a lot more use of butter and ghee where you come from, Delhi and Punjab. So it changes.
Yeah.
Hubbub, the Director's Hub podcast, sponsored by the Sussex Business Show.